really gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with no despair. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel, a fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas, with your neon flashing and the one-armed bandits crashing. Almost holds down the drain. Viva Las Vegas, turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Elvis Presley and Viva Las Vegas. Why do you think we're playing that today? Did you watch the Super Bowl yesterday? Was it not exciting? We're going to talk about it a little later. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It's no longer Super Bowl Monday. I guess everything is post-Super Bowl. But it is February the 12th, and we have a lot going on. Oh, boy. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with George Beebe of the Quincy Institute, and we are going to talk about the firing of Ukraine's top military leader by their President Zelensky. Now, is this a sign of failure for Ukraine? We're going to talk about it. And for the Ukraine regime. And Joe Biden, his surrogates are going on the offensive following that special prosecutor's report on his, what would you call it, infirmities? We're going to talk about whether it will help or hurt this octogenarian. I got the word out. Anyway, stay tuned for that as well. And a Democratic congressman rips into Super Bowl fans in Las Vegas, by the way, who did not stand during the Black National Anthem. Does he have a point? We will talk about that as well. And speaking of the Super Bowl, in our Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 greatest Super Bowl MVPs. So stay tuned for that at the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, you got to get your post-Super Bowl haircut, correct? Because your hair grows longer during the Super Bowl. So get over to the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are open, by the way, Tuesdays through Saturdays, not today. Tuesdays through Saturdays, you will get a great haircut at a great price. Call for your appointment, gentlemen, 727-733-3773. And if it has anything to do with a tree, I don't care if you want to get one, get rid of one, prune one, stump grind it, whatever. Arbor Life Tree Service, call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, during the Super Bowl yesterday, all of the festivities were going on. And a Democratic congressman is raising some eyebrows today. He took a shot at the Super Bowl crowd in Las Vegas. He said very few fans stood up for the singing of, I guess it's called Lift Every Voice and Sing. They call it the Black National Anthem. And he said it was, quote, not a very pretty picture, unquote. Ed, if you were at the Super Bowl, let me put you on the spot. You're sitting there, and let's see. I'll really put you on the spot. Let's say a bunch of people around you stand up during that song.
Well, here's the thing. Depending on who you talk to, whether it's actually... Because the media tends to put national anthem in there. It is the Black anthem. That's what it was when it was done years and years ago. So, depending on who you talk to, is on whether they put that part in there. And you can never get an answer either way. But now, when the national anthem starts, before that, the announcer says, please rise to your feet, remove your hats, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't believe they say that. No. I don't believe they say that for that. So probably a lot of the people that are there are, I don't want to say ignorant, but don't know what it is.
That's a good point.
I don't think you should have to.
That's a very good point, as a matter of fact.
I didn't get the memo. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, good point. It was sung by Andra Day, who's a Grammy Award winner, by the way, and obviously part of the pregame festivities. Now, here's this is Steve Cohen. He is a Democrat from Tennessee. He said very, very few stood for Lift Every Voice and Sing. He wrote this, by the way, on X. And he said, the Negro National Anthem, that's what he said, the Negro National Anthem, not a pretty picture of Super Bowl crowd. I would not have stood. It wouldn't have been because I wouldn't have known.
They didn't stand during the...
I wouldn't have known. I would have just said, hey, that's a nice song, but I'm not going to stand for it.
When they sang America the Beautiful, they didn't stand.
Yeah, that's another good point.
It's just somebody has to, somebody has to tarnish it, with their own agenda and get their name out there.
Yeah. Cohen's tweet drew attention online, and the Democrat then responded to his critics. One told him that he should only stand for one national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, but Cohen wrote back, I stand for both.
Good for him.
And in Memphis, most do. There you go. Another told him the American National Anthem by Francis Scott Key does not see color. He says, Dems have been the front line at dividing this country with race wars.
And that's the problem. There is no color with the National Anthem. It is the National Anthem. But when you put a color to it, now you're inflicting racism.
I think that's exactly
because
right.
Because what if we had a white national anthem? Oh, my God, can you imagine what happened? Bring out the horses and the sheets.
The purpose of the national anthem is actually to bring us all together.
Exactly.
Whatever color you are, we stand together as America. That's the deal. That's why we all stand. We all stand together as a sign of unity. If you start saying, well, we're going to do the Turkish national anthem after mm-hmm. we do the black national anthem, then we got to do the Chinese national anthem because I see we got a bunch of Chinese people.
Exactly.
We go down the road, the drain. So I agree with you. Very well said, Ed. You get a gold star for that. All right.
Maybe they should pay more attention to all the money that China influxed into the NFL last night.
Yes.
With the Temu ads.
You know that a 30-second commercial ran for $7 million?
I believe it's 60 seconds.
Oh, 30.
I don't think they do 30s anymore.
I believe it was the 30. Okay. I will have to find the story yet. I may be wrong.
Well, Temu was
just a lot of money, right? It's a lot of money.
Temu was all over the place. I mean, you couldn't. I think it was in at least every other spot, a commercial break.
What was
Temu? T-E-M-U. It's the orange one. That is.
Okay.
That is what. What Amazon is to us, that is China. That
I
when you buy stuff, it's called
that.
Shop Like a Millionaire because you can buy crap
right.
from China.
Okay.
Directly from China.
I didn't know that
and
it was connected
like
to China.
Half the price, but you don't realize it's not like Amazon when you get it in a couple of days. It takes 3 to 4 weeks to get it because it's got to clear customs in China and it's got to come to the U.S. It's got to sit in customs until they pass it there and then finally mail it to you.
All I know is that during commercials on the Super Bowl, did you know that the water table actually descends in our country? You get that? No, you don't
no.
get
that. No.
Everybody goes to the bathroom.
Oh.
The water pressure. I use the wrong term. Anyway, a joke that went south. That's what we call it, a joke that went south. We're going to take our break. When we come back, a buddy of ours, George Beebe of the Quincy Institute, is going to join us. We are going to talk about the firing of Ukraine's top military leader. Is it a sign of failure for the regime?
For the sunshine sky, and there's a reason. Feeling so high must be the season when that love light shines. all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday, day after the Super Bowl. I guess a lot of people are standing around the water cooler these days talking about the game. It was an exciting game, Ed. They were tied in the fourth quarter, and it was a good game, I guess. What can you say? No matter what team you were rooting for, it would be, you know.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
The Bars got their money was worth because it went into overtime.
Yes, you're right about that.
And the one thing that was nicely missing from it for a change, there was no political problems. Now, you know, Kennedy had his ad there, but that was about it.
That's right. We're going to talk about the Kennedy ad a little later in the show.
But it was just nice. It was the game. And we didn't have all that other crap oozing in like it. Now, next year's going to be totally different.
Could
guarantee
be. Yeah. All right. We have got a buddy back, George Beebe. He is the director of grand strategy at the Quincy Institute. He's also a former advisor to Dick Cheney when he was vice president. He was a former advisor advising him on Russia. And he was also the former director of Russia analysis for the CIA. We're going to talk with George about the replacement of their senior military commander. George, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you very much.
Real pleasure to talk with you. With everything else that is going on, I guess we sometimes start putting even the Ukraine war in the background a little bit. You know, we had a lot of other things going on this past week. But on Thursday, the president of the Ukraine, Zelensky, removed, I guess his name is Valery Zaluzhny, who is their top general. What is going on?
Well, this is not a good sign, actually, because you know when you're firing your top military commander in the middle of the war, that's not usually a sign that the war is going very well for you. Now, the other problem here is that Zaluzhny is not just the top military commander in Ukraine; he's also the most popular person in the country, according to Ukrainian polls, and very much respected within the military itself. So. This is a risky move for the battlefield, but it's also a risky political move because this could blow up in Zelensky's face pretty easily.
Is it an ego issue, partly?
Well, it may be. You know, whenever you're talking about politics, egos always figure into that. But part of it is, I think, Zelensky does not want personally to be blamed for setbacks on the battlefield. The war is simply not going Ukraine's way right now. They're running out of men, and what that means is they increasingly have to draft people to send to the front line who are old and injured and suffering from various illnesses and physical ailments. And they're having to turn more and more toward the wealthy, the well-educated, the elites within Ukrainian society. And people are starting to bark at this. This has become controversial within Ukraine. And Zelensky wants someone else to blame this on. So part of what's going on here is he's looking for a scapegoat. He's picked Zelensky.
So tell me about this new colonel, Sursky, who is replacing Zelensky. Is he competent? Do you know much about him?
Well, he's someone with long experience. He rose through the ranks within the Soviet military earlier in his career when there still was a Soviet Union. And he became the head of Ukraine's ground forces. So he was the guy that was commanding the Ukrainian army when they were fighting since 2014 against separatists in Russia, in the now Russian-occupied regions in the Donbass of Ukraine. He was also the guy that was the commander of Ukrainian forces in the defense of Bakhmut, which is the city that the Russians laid siege to late last year and ultimately won. So he's someone who is regarded as a pretty tough guy. He's willing to send a lot of Ukrainian forces into the battle to hold positions against the Russians. And you know, he's lost an awful lot of people. And Politico, the online politics site, has said that his nickname in Ukraine is the Butcher.
Oh, boy.
Because he has sent so many men to their deaths in this war.
Oh, my gosh. We're talking with George Beebe. He's the Director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute. Lots of experience when it comes to Russia and the Ukraine. He's a former director of Russia analysis for the CIA. He's a former advisor to Dick Cheney on Russia. George, you mentioned that U.S. diplomacy with Russia remains the best hope for getting and kind of saving the country. U.S. diplomacy, are we doing enough of it right now when it comes to that that conflict?
Well, no, I don't think we are. You know, the thing about diplomacy is that it's usually not an either-or. You know, Americans oftentimes think of diplomacy as, well, you're either negotiating for peace or you're fighting, but it's one or the other. That doesn't usually work. For diplomacy to be effective, it usually has to be with some coercion, with some force. So it's not as if we should be abandoning the Ukrainians right now, cutting off all aid. That would give the Russians very little incentive to actually negotiate a compromise. But what the United States does need to do is to reach out to the Russians to engage and indicate that we are willing to discuss things that the Russians believe are central to this war, such as Ukraine's membership in NATO. We've never agreed that we're willing to discuss that. And the Russians, I think, so long as we refuse to talk about that, are going to keep this war going. Is their best guarantee that the Ukraine doesn't join NATO is to make sure that it stays at war for a long time to come. And the result of that is going to be a wrecked Ukraine. I don't think the Russians are going to be able to occupy and govern all of Ukraine, not by a long shot, but they can make sure that Ukraine is in a state of dysfunction. And that's not good for Ukraine, not good for Europe, not good for the United States.
Now, we have spent a lot of money over in the Ukraine, billions and billions of dollars. And it seems like, even though I think we still have a sentiment and hopeful here in our country that Ukraine can survive, it seems like U.S. sentiment towards continuing to fund the Ukraine maybe eroding a little bit. Do you agree with that? And how do you think we can what can we do to say to build up the desire to continue to help Ukraine?
Well, you know, Americans are sympathetic people. We don't want to see any country destroyed, obviously. And in this particular case, Ukraine's been invaded. We don't want to see the Russians get away with that and see aggression rewarded. That's a normal reaction. But Americans are also skeptical of what are called forever wars. You know, we've gotten into these wars over the last 30 years that our government has said, oh, you know, this is going to be quick and victorious, and they turned out to be anything but. And I think Americans are starting to say, hey, look, you know, how do these wars end? How do we bring this to a successful conclusion? And they've lost trust, I think, in Washington experts who have been wrong over and over again about these wars. And they're starting to ask some hard questions, and they should be asking hard questions. What guarantee do we have that we're not going to be shelling out $100 billion a year for Ukraine for the next two decades? That's a reasonable question for people to be asking. And right now, Washington won't answer that question. The Biden administration doesn't want to answer it.
Indeed. In fact, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer seem to be on the same side of coming up with legislation that would both pay attention to our southern border here and fund the war. But then there are some, particularly in Congress, that say, no, we gotta take care of our border first. You hear that cry, you know, let's worry about our border before we worry about Ukraine's border with Russia.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a natural impulse. Of course, Americans want to address the things that are most directly important to their interests at home first. That's normal. If foreign policy isn't about making the world better, it's about making America safer and Americans more prosperous within it. And sometimes Washington gets that inverted. And we think that what's most important is advancing American influence in the world, not advancing the interests of the American people. So I think these are questions that Americans ought to be asking.
We're talking again with George Beebe, the Director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute, about the firing of Ukraine's top military leader by the Ukrainian President Zelensky. George, if Donald Trump becomes president in November, and let's say the war, sadly, is still going on at that point, we all hope it might not be, but if it is, would Trump want to continue the funding of Ukraine, in your opinion, or do you think he might pull back on that idea?
Well, that's very hard to say. He has not been specific about that. He simply indicated that he believes the war needs to end and soon, and that he could do that. But how he would do it and whether, you know, continued funding would be involved, he has not commented on. And I think that's appropriate. He doesn't want to tie his own hands on specific steps that he would take in all of this. What's interesting about the most recent bill that's been discussed in the Senate is that it would actually tie Trump's hands, or any successor to Biden's hands, in funding. It includes a clause that obligates the next president well into his first term to continue funding Ukraine. So, you know, that doesn't provide flexibility to the next president. It, in fact, constrains his freedom of maneuver.
Yeah. Do you think that bill has a good chance of passing both the House and the Senate?
I don't. I think it's has very little chance of passing at this point. There's very strong opposition among House Republicans to this, so I'd be very surprised if it passed.
Do you agree that they should be separate issues and voted on separately?
Well, that's a tactical decision that people in Congress have to decide. What I would say here is that the Biden strategy of trying to increase the chances of getting Ukraine aid by tying it to Israel and other issues has blown up in his face. It, in fact, has produced a mess. It has not produced a rapid, successful bill.
Yeah. This is a very complicated situation. With all these things going on, you know, the southern border here, the Israeli war, the Ukrainian war, and then the concern, let's be honest, the concern that maybe Joe Biden is not up to it.
Yes, these are all formidable challenges. And we have a situation with Russia where if you're going to get anything done, you have to deal with Putin. You have to deal with the guy at the top of the pyramid. You can't deal at lower levels and have a lot of success. But we're not in a system right now that is in a position to have our president deal directly with the Russian president. So this is a complicating factor.
Indeed. George Beebe, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. You know so doggone much, and I appreciate it. I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. George Beebe. Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Joe Biden's surrogates going on the offense following the special prosecutor's report on his, infirmities. Is that going to help? Or is that going to help dear old Joe?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. You know, it's a nice day around here today. We're getting back into our normal weather, Ed. That's kind of a nice feeling.
I know, but your caller, he warned me that he was in the middle of a, perhaps you heard it, middle of a lightning storm.
Oh, no kidding.
And you every time lightning.
Oh, George Beebe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize he was in the middle of
it. Storming up in the northeast. So,
that noise was.
Yeah, he warned me ahead of time. He said, I'm not getting electrocuted. It's just, you know, every time we get a lightning strike, I can hear it through
goodness.
My phone.
I hope he wasn't in danger while he was talking with us. He's a very courageous man. We're going to bring on our buddy, speaking of the northeast.
No.
How about Rochester?
Yeah, they're
New
getting
York?
A big snowstorm this tomorrow.
Are they
tomorrow?
Getting another snowstorm in dear old Rochester, New
yeah.
York? How you doing, Angelo?
No, we got Andrew on, not Angelo.
Oh, I apologize. I was trying to read your lips, Ed. I thought it was Angelo, because Angelo calls in on Mondays typically, but it's his younger and, do we dare say, wiser brother? How you doing, Andrew?
I'm living the dream, buddy. How about you?
We're doing good. I want you to listen to this, because I know you'll have a comment on it. Allies of Joe Biden joined yesterday's Sunday morning shows to take the offense and defend the commander-in-chief following the report by Special Counsel Robert Hur on how Biden handled the classified documents that he keeps storing all over the world. Here's what his co-chair, Biden's co-chair for his campaign says about Joe. He's smart. He's on his game. he was on Meet the Press talking about this. And he goes on to say, and as Secretary of Mayorkas said just a minute ago, when you go into a briefing with the president, you better have your big boy pants on. And this kind of sense that he's not ready for this job, just a bucket of BS that's so deep your boots are going to get stuck in it. So there you go. I'd like you to comment on that, Andrew.
Well, first of all, we all know he's off. Why these people are defending him is beyond me. It's ridiculous. They know. Why would you sit there and say, you better put your big pants on? big boy pants. You better bring another diaper to change the guy.
I was waiting for Joe to be on the Super Bowl. Did I leave the screen at the wrong time? I didn't see him.
No, he declined to do an interview on the Super Bowl.
Now, you know, that must tell you, really, if you think about it, all you got to know about his condition, that they would actually keep him from what would have been a very tame interview on CBS during the Super Bowl. And look at all of the people that would have been watching him. He would have had such an opportunity if he was... He would have had such an opportunity.
It didn't have to be live. They could have recorded it.
Well, it would have been recorded. Yeah. It would have gone no longer than about 10, maybe 15 minutes with a break in it.
All I can say for Joe Biden, he needs the first words of Frank Sinatra's most favorite song. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My head, it's just not clear. It is all full of dementia.
Okay. Would you please bring out your accordion while you're...
We have copyright infringements here.
No. I want you to continue to sing the song, but do you have your accordion handy while you're doing it?
I don't have it with me right now, buddy.
Doggone it.
I did change all the words to that song for Joe Biden.
Yes, it seemed to me that good old Blue Eyes didn't sing it quite that way.
Hey, boy.
The last time we spoke to you, you were over at a Cadillac dealership. I think you were getting your Caddy repaired. Is everything okay, by the way?
Oh, yeah. It was just for a little recall. That's all.
Oh, why were they recalling
it? This was my older one. Actually, this was my old one.
Yeah, you got about 7 of them.
And it was just a recall on a rear-end link. But, you know, Cadillac is so great with their service. When I brought it in there, because the one I'm driving is all-wheel drive, they did a four-wheel alignment on it, everything, washed it, detailed, cleaned it, and gave it back to me, all free of charge.
Isn't that nice? Let's give them a plug. It's Dimmitt Cadillac.
That's right. Yeah, but it's fantastic. You cannot beat Cadillac service, and I don't care what anybody says, a Cadillac is a Cadillac, often imitated but never duplicated.
I want you to, getting back to politics, there's so much going on. I don't even know where to start with you, but... We have RFK Jr. He ran a commercial. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I saw the commercial.
Did you know that Robert Jr. is apologizing to members of his family for that commercial? It heavily featured his connection to his uncle, John F. Kennedy.
I thought those were all old pictures are all old type of ads from his uncle.
That's correct.
Campaign, yes.
And RFK Jr. argued that the group that was responsible for the ad, the American Values Super PAC, apparently did not consult him or his campaign when they made the ad, which I find to be very interesting, if not almost unbelievable, that they wouldn't have talked with him about it, and that he wouldn't have known, that he would not have known that that commercial would have been on the Super Bowl.
I won't believe it, Paul.
You
don't believe him one bit. He knew what it was on.
Of course, that's what I'm saying too.
And you know what? I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, John Kennedy was a good man.
There you go.
His campaign was great, and I would be proud to show that. I'm his nephew.
If you're going to spend $7 million, you better be proud.
I'm thinking he wants to have it both ways. He wants to say, well, I'm somewhat contrite, but then again, on the other hand, it sounded like he was rather proud of the ad, if you read into the story.
Yep. I thought it was a good ad for him. I don't think he's going anywhere, but I thought it was a decent ad.
Yeah.
I thought it brought back some good memories.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a question that you might find a little bit, what's the word, a little bit hard to answer. Donald Trump has been going after Nikki Haley's husband for not showing up. Now, if you know anything about Nikki Haley's husband, he's being deployed overseas. He's a military man. Why did Donald Trump open his big mouth and start talking down Nikki Haley's husband? It can only lead to bad things for Donald Trump, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, Paul, with everything that's going on now, he's got to get rid of her. She's just wasting time, a lot of money, and she's in there because she's got people pushing her to try and get rid of Trump. She got the money back in her. I'd go after him, too. I'm sorry.
No, I'm going after her is one thing. Why is he bad-mouthing a military guy?
Well, it's politics, Paul.
It's politics. I think it's doing him no good. Frankly, I think he should never, ever. If I was Nikki Haley, and listen, I'll vote for Donald if he's the only Republican. But if I was Nikki Haley, I would say, Mr. Trump, tell us about your military record, and that's going to stop Donald Trump because he did not serve.
No, of course.
But he did not serve.
Well, that's what she's got to do.
I think Donald Trump should tread very carefully on dissing Nikki Haley's husband. That's all I'm saying about that.
But that's been Donald Trump. That is him. Wait a minute. A year ago, or even 2 years ago, we were saying, boy, we sure do miss that part of Donald Trump, if that's all there was to it. And when we got all this stuff going on, we miss those mean tweets now.
Ed, do you think that it was smart for him to go after Nikki Haley?
Absolutely not, but that's him. You throw rocks at him, he's going to throw bigger rocks.
All is fair in love, war, and politics, period.
But if you live in a glass house, be careful about throwing all those stones. That's all I'm saying there.
I understand what you're saying.
I know you do.
He hasn't been convicted of anything.
You throw the stones in politics, and it doesn't matter because look what's going on with the country. People are tired of it.
And he is so far ahead. I guess he can afford to do that. But, hey, also, this was, did you know that Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, is back in the hospital?
Yes, he is.
He's back in critical care.
Yeah, that guy just needs to go take care of his health.
Exactly. I don't think he should continue as Secretary of Defense.
No, absolutely not. No.
Well, listen, I don't think Biden should continue as president, but these guys keep going, don't they?
Yeah, they
keep
do.
Him in there, don't they? And they keep him in there because they're puppets to whatever they want to do.
And that's another limitation on Joe Biden. He's not able to get rid of people that are not capable right now because of his own situation, because he doesn't want to step down. He does not want to step down. Why is his wife, who knows better than anybody about Joe Biden's infirmities?
She should be put away for cruelty to the senior citizen.
I'm thinking that.
Because not only is she around her husband, she's around Kamala Harris a lot, too.
Yes.
She knows what's going to happen if she yanks her old man out.
So let me ask you, Master Barber, if you had to have one of them as president, Biden or Kamala, which one?
Oh, Lord, what a question.
I know it is.
I'm going to have to do like they did in Nevada. None of the above.
Okay. I can't get you off the snide? All right.
None of the above, buddy.
Okay. I got one other thing. Your buddy Alejandro Mayorkas, our favorite Homeland Secretary.
Uncle Fester.
Hey, you're one. Taking the senator's name away there, Cutterman.
I liked Uncle Fester. Why do you diss Uncle Fester?
Like, he looks like he's got those dark the things under his bags under his eyes. Not because he's up late worrying about the border or anything.
Uncle, here's a little trivia for you. Uncle Fester was Jackie Coogan. Jackie Coogan was a silent film screen kid that that played in a movie with Charlie Chaplin. He goes all the way back to that. But enough of that. Mayorkas is ducking any responsibility on the border crisis, apparently, demonstrating why he should not have been impeached last week. He said on Meet the Press yesterday that the Biden administration does not, quote, bear responsibility for a broken system, unquote. Boy, if I had a lemon meringue pie in my hand and I was anywhere close to him, I would have done a soupy sales. I'm sorry. What do you think?
Paul,
I guess there's not much to say about that.
I'm still trying to figure out that one Republican senator made sure that he voted against it so there wouldn't be a tie vote so they can have a re-vote when what's-his-name comes back from Congress.
Well, we know why. They're going to, by the way, they are going to vote again, and it looks like they will have the votes to impeach
him. That's what I was wondering. When are they going to vote again? Because now I haven't heard a thing about it.
I think they're going to vote again relatively quickly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting
I will tell you that I think the vote will come possibly before the end of this week.
You notice the border czar has nothing to say about it?
Because she's never seen it.
Yeah, she doesn't even know what border you're talking about.
That's right.
That's what I'm afraid of. But anyway, so Mayorkas continues to duck responsibility. And, you know, they have some nerve saying, well, you know, it's up to Congress to come up with some sort of legislation that we can enact, and then we can go ahead and do whatever they... No, it isn't. Joe Biden is intentionally keeping that border wide open, so, and everybody knows it, and Mayorkas knows better than anybody else. And for him to sit up there and speak like that on Meet the Press, it defies credibility.
Well, the guy is being loyal to Biden because... Come on, I mean, I don't care who they put in there next. It's going to be the same thing. Unless Biden strokes that pen and reverses what he reversed from Trump, the stay in Mexico and all that stuff, and closing the border, it's all going to just keep the same status quo.
I think you're right.
Well, we've got a problem. Let's face it, we got a lot of problems in this country. The immigration, the economy... the three wars we're dealing with, let's face it, we're a broke country and people don't realize it.
And we have a man at the helm that is incapable of solving any of these issues. He is only exacerbating them.
Now, you know what really gets me is they got Donald Trump with his documents still on a trial and this and that. I mean, if Joe did this when he was in his vice presidency, what's that got to do with his mental capability today?
Yeah, you're right about that.
Okay,
you can't have it both ways.
No, and it's ridiculous. I mean, they're showing it's a two-sided justice system. If it's, you know, just because he's feeble, he did this years ago. He knew what was going on. But granted, you can't punish him. He's going to end up in an old folks' home anyway. But, you know, what do? You got to drop the charges against Trump with it.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. I
think Trump had he dropped the ball on Nikki Haley's husband. Other than that, he's had a pretty good week.
But when
the Supreme Court is clearly going to rule in his favor in Colorado in terms of whether or not he remains on their ballot.
Well, Paul, not only that, look at Jack Smith's case. It's been postponed indefinitely.
That's
then
right.
You got Fannie Willis in Georgia.
Yeah, Fat Fannie is in big trouble now. They're probably
in big trouble. Yeah. That's all going to get dropped, Paul. I mean, Trump is batting 1,000 right now.
Yeah, it looks like you're right about that.
So every now and then he can say something. Big deal.
I guess so.
I mean, I do that all the time. I'll be honest with you. I get yelled at for saying certain things.
No, I can't believe that you would say anything that would be that would be inappropriate.
No, it happens. It just comes out. It's just, you know, there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, that's just...
I mean, it was just like yesterday. I had Ron DeSantis Sr. was at my house watching the football game, and I yelled at him because he wouldn't stand up for the Black National Anthem.
I bet you did.
I yelled at him.
I bet you did. Oh, goodness.
I wanted them to play the theme from The Godfather because that's my national anthem.
There you go.
But they didn't.
Did you guys, were you rooting for one team or the other?
I could care less about either one of them, to be honest with you.
Okay.
If it wasn't the Bills or the Bucks, I could care less.
I gotcha. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you so very much, my friend, for calling in. Look forward to talking with you on Wednesday.
And be careful, guys. It's windy out. You're going to get blown away.
Oh, okay. We will.
All right, buddy. Be good.
Thanks, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
The Master Barber. Okay. We're going to take our break. And when we come back... Well, there's all kinds of things going on. Among other things, we're going to give you the top 10 Super Bowl most valuable players.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment, Freedom Works on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Really, we do this because people like you are listening. We deeply appreciate it. But, if you cannot listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are put on podcast, on tape. All you have to do is go to our website, at your leisure, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R for our, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all our shows up there. And all you've got to do is take a look at which show you'd like to see. The most recent is at the top. You will know who the guest is, the topic with the guest, and our top 10. All you got to know, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, Ed, I can't remember if I asked you who you were rooting for in the Super Bowl between the winning team, Kansas City, and San Francisco.
I really didn't have a dog in the fight, but I thought that San Francisco would win.
Yeah. They started out in that game, I think, you know, as the better team at first. It seemed like they were moving down the field. I think they lost the ball or something at some point.
Yeah, they fumbled here and there, and then just a couple of stupid. Mm-hmm. And did you see their starting linebacker, which was a big deal, during a I think it was a kickoff or something like that, and he was on the sideline. He was getting ready to run out on the field. Yes. He took three steps and blew out his Achilles.
I know it. Unbelievable.
That was just bizarre.
That had to be so frustrating for that guy. Not even to be hit. Walking back on the
field. And he was a big
field.
Piece of that defense, too.
Now, we talked earlier about those ads during the Super Bowl, and I have found the story here. It says here, high market brands poured out millions for advertising during yesterday's Super Bowl. They cost $7 million per 30-second slot. $7 million.
Yeah.
They had over probably 100 million people watching the game. They will tell us later how
many. You got to remember, $7 million is just for the airtime.
Yeah.
Okay, if you notice, a lot of the ads last night
were very expensive.
Had a lot of actors in them.
They did.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
You know, and
I think there were at least like 11 or 12 actors.
You
some of them,
pay
from the past.
You got to pay them, and you got production and all
That's
that
right.
stuff.
There you go. Now, those ads, as far as the cost of running them, it's about the same as last year's commercials, but it cost over 50% more than it did when they did the Super Bowl in 2019. And like you said, all that money only covers the airtime. And companies usually end up on the hook for much more with celebrity endorsements, high budget vignettes, you know, for their products. Anheuser-Busch, did you see the Bud Light commercial there?
Yeah, the Clydesdales were back.
The Clydesdales were back. I was looking for Dylan Mulvaney. I didn't see. Is
you
it
know,
her,
I,
him, her? I didn't
I,
see her.
I would have had more respect for Bud Light if this new CEO, whatever, just came out and looked at the camera and said, we made a mistake and we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have gained a lot more respect than try to hide it between the Clydesdales and stuff like that. Just came out and you made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes.
Do you really think that would have worked?
I think it would have worked more than anything else.
You don't think it would have focused even more attention on their mistake?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Fair enough. All right, my friend. Speaking about the Super Bowl, guess what we have for a top 10? The top 10. Oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes was named the most valuable player.
That.
I thought that would have. That's not a surprise. All right. So he's not included in the top 10 here because it's too new. These are the top 10 other than that, the top 10 Super Bowl most valuable players down through the years. Here we go. Number 10. Doug Williams is number 10. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is from Touchdown Wire. Mm. Okay. And Doug Williams was the quarterback for the Washington Redskins in Super Bowl 22 that they won. He had 18 of 29 passing for 340 yards. He's four touchdown passes. Mm. Four.
That all came in the second quarter?
I don't know.
I believe so.
But they stomped on Denver 42-10.
Yeah.
Okay, number nine. You remember Larry Zonka?
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins. Yeah, he was a great running back, fullback. Super Bowl VIII. He had 33 carries during that game for 145 yards and two rushing touchdowns. They stomped on the Minnesota Vikings 24-7. Number eight. I think he might have been one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in my humble opinion, when he was at his prime. Joe Montana, he was most valuable player in Super Bowl 19 when they defeated the Miami Dolphins 38-16. He, of course, played for the San Francisco 49ers. 24 of 35 passing, 331 yards, three touchdown passes. Number seven. Troy Aikman, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl 27, he was the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys when they beat Buffalo 52-17. 22 of 30 passing, 273 yards, four touchdown passes. Number six, the greatest wide receiver of all time, Jerry Rice, San Francisco 49ers, Super Bowl 23. 11 catches, 215 yards, one touchdown reception. Number five, Phil Sims, New York Giants, Super Bowl 21. He's the quarterback for the Giants. They beat the Denver Broncos 39-20. He was 22 of 25 passing, 268 yards, and three touchdown passes. Number four, remember Marcus Allen?
Mm-hmm.
Running back for the L.A. Raiders in Super Bowl 18. The Raiders defeated the Redskins 38-9. He had 20 carries, 191 rushing yards, and two rushing touchdowns. Number three, Terrell Davis of the Denver Broncos. He was a running back. He had 30 carries for 157 yards, three rushing touchdowns, two catches. I mean, he was doing everything in that game. And they defeated Green Bay Packers 31-24. Number two, Joe Montana again. And this is for Super Bowl 24. The 49ers defeated Denver, listen to this, 55-10. Montana, 22 of 29 passing, 297 yards, five touchdown passes. All right, who do you think is number one, Ed?
I don't know. We haven't called his name. I'd have to go to Tom Brady somewhere.
I would have, too.
Yeah.
But it would not have been right.
Well.
It's Steve Young of the San Francisco 49ers again. The 49ers, when they beat the San Diego Chargers 49-26, 24 of 36 for passing, 325 yards, six touchdown passes. And he even had five carries for 49 rushing yards.
Mm.
Then he swept up after the game was over.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. Always remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. New health concerns about the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. CBS's Nancy Cordes at the White House.
Secretary Austin is in the critical care unit at Walter Reed Medical Center, we're told, and the Pentagon says it's unclear how long he will be hospitalized. Doctors say the 70-year-old is being treated for a bladder issue. The Pentagon says the